Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Stone Chapel, a podcast of the staff and friends of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. My name is David Capes. I'm the Senior Research Fellow at the Library and your host for this series of podcasts. Our purpose is fairly simple. We want to bring to you great conversations with leading experts from around the world on biblical, theological, historical, and archaeological themes. Well, the list goes on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Joining me today on the Stone Chapel, Dr. Todd Still, who has his PhD from the University of Glasgow, if I said that correctly, under a little-known New Testament scholar named John Barclay. Dr. Still is the Charles J. and Eleanor McLaren DeLancey Dean and William Henson Professor of Christian Scriptures at George W. Truett Theological Seminary at Baylor University. Now, that's a mouthful.
Someone was saying recently that that takes a little bigger card than one might imagine.
8 by 10.
But, you know, really, David, it's a testimony to people's generosity.
It is, isn't it?
At the end of the day, folks are saying, can we supplement salary by giving money towards a position? And as a result, they have attached their name to it. It's one of the coins of the realm in the academy.
And that's in perpetuity, I guess.
It's in perpetuity. Right? So it didn't begin with me, and it will, by God's good grace, not end with me.
Keep going, keep going. Well,
absolutely.
Welcome to the Lanier Theological Library.
It's a joy, David.
We're here to talk about the mission of the George W. Truett Theological Seminary and a little bit about what you're thinking of the future of theological education. I know you don't have a crystal ball, and we're not expecting prognostication, but there are a few things that look like could be on the horizon.
So, yes.
Yeah. First of all, what are your impressions of the Lanier Library?
Stunning. Absolutely amazing.
We're just sitting here looking at the Paul section.
Wow. Right? So you can be plopped down anywhere in this gorgeous library. First of all, you feel as if though you've just entered into Oxford or Cambridge, or have you entered into libraries in Tuscany, Italy? And you just think, my lands. Mark Lanier's vision to create a Bodleian of types for the folks of Houston Metro and beyond is really amazing. And Mark's magnanimity, his generosity to say, mi casa su casa. Come to the library.
Right.
The doors are open. Find you a table. Get you some books. Pull out your laptop. Begin to think and to write. It is something that if you've never been to, it is a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
It's a destination location.
It is, yeah.
And if you come once, you'll come twice.
We hope.
And again and again. So,
and we've done some things together here between the library and Georgia W. Truett Theological Seminary and Baylor University. Mark has great admiration for what Baylor is about and what Truett is about. So thank you for those opportunities. In fact, this summer, N.T. Wright is coming, first of all, to Truett, to do a course there in June of 2021, and then afterwards he's going to come here and lecture.
Well, that is a remarkable thing for both of us, isn't it, that Tom would come, his Galatians commentary will be out then, and for him to be able to teach through Galatians at Truett, and then to come down to Lanier and offer additional reflections on Galatians is just what is it? We could say it's a double blessing.
It is. It is a double blessing. So tell us a little bit about Truett Seminary and its mission. What is it about?
Yeah, so David, maybe first of all, like in The Sound of Music, let's for a moment begin at the beginning. So Baylor is the oldest continuous higher education institution in the state of Texas. It was begun in 1845 in Independence. It moved to Waco in 1875, and Baylor has a long and storied history, even before we won the NCAA National Championship in men's basketball.
That's right. Gonzaga,
went down. Just thought I'd find a way to work this in.
I wore my Baylor mask down to a trip to Tampa recently, and I can't tell you how many times that people said "Sick'em Bears."
Sudden, lots of bandwagon fans. I mean, exactly. Baylor used to be cellar dwellers, and it's really been fun to see Coach Drew and his team enjoy such success, even as they've talked
right
so openly and transparently about their own relationship with the Lord. But Baylor is a school that has a storied history, presently 100,000 living alumni. That's not much when you begin to look at A&M or UT, but by private school standards,
it's huge.
It's a big private. So right now, for example, 19,000 students, 1,200 faculty, 1,400 staff. I mean, it's a small town within...
It is Waco, I mean, to some degree, right? I mean, Waco's bigger than Baylor, but I mean, you know, it's the biggest thing in Baylor, right?
Waco. It's the largest employer by far. L3 comes in a distant second, Caterpillar, then some other industry, but Baylor is the largest employer. And Waco has been a wonderful home for Baylor, and we trust that the university has also been good for the community. Baylor has not always had the kind of success that it's presently enjoying. In fact, there was one called George W. Truett, who in the early 1890s was hired by Baylor to eradicate a $92,000 debt that the school had accrued, which was crippling in that time. It's a lot of money even now.
Yeah.
Truett, in no less than 3 years' time, was able to raise sufficient monies to do away with the debt, then enrolled in the school that he helped to save. Got his degree in 1897, became the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, and 47 years later died in that pastorate. And when given opportunity... 47 years. When given opportunity to go to other places, including to serve as Baylor's president, George W. Truett said, "I prayed that the Lord would give me a shepherd's heart, and he's answered my prayer." So he could not be moved. And so in 1991, when then-President Herbert Reynolds was looking for a name that might become the seminary that now is, he reached for the name George W. Truett Theological Seminary. And then in 1994, this seminary began, 51 students at First Baptist Church of Waco. Yeah. And so here we are, you know, some 27 years later, we now have 1,800 graduates. Our mission...
Wow.
Our mission, David, is really part and parcel of Baylor's own. Baylor's motto says, pro ecclesia, pro texana, for the church, for Texas has now become a metaphor for the world. Truett would like to think that we're near the tip of the spear of, by, and for the church. And so when we begin to talk about mission, we say this, that Truett exists to equip God-called people for gospel ministry in and alongside Christ Church by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we exist, and we are target locked on that mission.
Now, how long have you been the dean there?
So, relatively recent. I began in April of 2015, so I'm starting my seventh year. But I've been at Truett since 2003. I came as an untenured associate professor of Christian Scriptures, New Testament, and Greek. And so the way I put it, David, is if you stay one place long enough, like was it the Canadian sociologist Peter? The last name, Peter's principle sets in, you're promoted at least one level beyond your competence.
Well, I don't think that's the case here.
No, maybe so.
Who knows? Who knows, though? One of the things I love about you is the fact that on any given week, as I look at Facebook, you're preaching in a different pulpit, and you're talking about Truett Seminary. And that seems to me to be a vital part of what you do, but it also is vital for Truett to keep getting the word out and keeping the word out.
Yeah, you know, David, many of us coming through in our educational process, we began with a call to ministry. Sometimes ministry can be divorced from the academy and the academy divorced from ministry. But if theology continues to be the queen of the sciences, and this is debated, our friend Tom Wright, to mention Tom again, encourages us to think about not the two as hermetically sealed off from one another, but how can we serve the academy and serve the church simultaneously? How can the two be friends? It was one of Tom Wright's predecessors as the Bishop of Durham, J.B. Lightfoot, who put it so beautifully. He said, "We should be about seeking the highest reason and the fullest faith." It's not unlike what many of the church have said through time. Fides corans in electum, faith seeking understanding. And so I don't think the church and the academy are best divorced. I actually think that they're best integrated. Are there certain tensions? Invariably, inevitably.
And probably there should be, right? I mean, probably.
You want the church speaking to the academy, and you want the academy speaking to the church.
Right, exactly.
But we're best speaking to one another instead of past one another, or worse yet, about one another.
Yeah. I was listening the other day to one of Houston's better-known preachers on TV, and he was giving a story about a cemetery and made a bit of a slip. Instead of cemetery, he said seminary. We've heard that for a long time, haven't we?
We have, David. You and I came through, and I remember a very well-meaning Christian layman who came up to me when it was seen that I was on my way to seminary. And he said, and I still vividly remember it, if it were appropriate, I could call name. If it were appropriate, I could call place. And he said, "Todd, don't let them ruin you." And at the time, I didn't know quite how to respond. Now, I'm some, 33 years removed from that admonition. I can understand the reason it was given. Sometimes in divinity schools and seminaries, folks really don't feel their faith encouraged. They feel their faith effaced and deconstructed. That doesn't seem especially helpful or hopeful. And so maybe this Freudian slip was due in part to the fact that seminary has become a cemetery for folks, but that's not what it's meant to be, right?
That's not what true it is at
all. No, you go back to the word itself. It's meant to be a seedbed where you can be planted and watered and nourished, and you can come and not only receive rigorous instruction, but intentional formation, where head and heart can be friends. It's not loving the Lord your God with anything less than the whole of you.
Yeah, with all your mind.
Yeah.
Right, with all your mind.
And so, you know, David, you and I perhaps both grew up where there were some streams of anti-intellectualism within our Christian congregations. Once again, I think it was a defense mechanism that folks begin to throw up because they see folks beginning to rationalize away things that matter deeply.
Deeply matter to them, right.
And so, you know, if you're a teacher like you are for us in our Houston Extension, you know, we together take a Hippocratic oath to do no harm. I mean, ours is a stewardship. We've been entrusted with the shaping of future ministers, and it is a sacred trust. It's not something that we should take lightly. So, no, we don't dodge difficult questions, but we seek understanding. We seek truth wherever it may be found, and believe ultimately, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, there's still a truth that is objective, even if we are unable to ascertain the same.
Remember, it's Arthur Holmes that used to say, "All truth is God's truth."
Yeah,
and that. So what do students get at Truett that they wouldn't get? I mean, you've been talking a little bit about formation here.
Yeah.
What do they get at Truett that they might not get from if they went to another seminary?
Well, David, I mean, you know, it's about like asking my wife, Carolyn, and I about our sons. So, I mean,
I know it's pretty close to heart.
Or the Shakespearean sonnet. I mean, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Well, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, what differentiates Truett? I would say, first of all, a focus on community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Life Together informs and animates Truett Seminary, whether it is at our main campus in Waco, or whether it is at our Houston campus, or what will become our San Antonio campus. We believe if you are going to be whole and healthy, and if you're going to have a vibrancy and a vitality about your life and ministry, you not only need to know, but you need to be known. And so information is absolutely essential. Formation is absolutely essential. It takes place in the context of the community. I would also say one of the things that differentiates Truett from our peers, not our competitors, our peers, we're in kingdom work, but we really do focus upon primary text. Mm-hmm. We focus upon not only the primary text of Scripture. And at Truett, if you take the MDiv, you are still not asked, not allowed, but required to take both Hebrew and Greek. That differentiates us from
many.
That's
true, because many seminaries these days are sort of taking that requirement out.
In order
to lessen the hours.
They've taken it away,
yeah.
And I understand the pressures that are incumbent upon schools to do so. We have different degrees that students might take if they would not care to take the Masters of Divinity, but the Masters of Divinity requires biblical languages. It also requires, yes, Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, but then a remarkable range of text, theological, historical, in the church's tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So, to the Reformation. For example, you don't read about Augustine, you read Augustine. In the Reformation and from the Reformation. You don't read about Luther or Wesley or Calvin. You read them, yes, in translation, but you read them. And then in the modern era, you read theologians, and it's not merely a summary or a composite of their views, but you're going to get to read Niebuhr. You're going to get to read Schleiermacher. You may not agree with Bultmann, but you at least need to have read him in order that you might know where you disagree from Kant or you disagree from Tillich. We don't do well seeking to critique that of which we're ignorant.
And it's important, I think, to be able to situate yourself
along
the spectrum. Where are you in this theological spectrum along the way?
So. Yeah, and so, you know, Truett self-describes, not in any kind of self-congratulatory way, but as Orthodox. What most Christians at most places at most times have embraced and espoused. Evangelical, it has nothing to do with political commitments and everything to do with spiritual ones. People need to be converted. People need to focus upon the Bible. The cross matters. Call to action matters. And we do so in the historic Baptist tradition, which values autonomy of the local church, priesthood of all believers, separation of church and state, not rigid, but considerable. And then the priesthood of all believers, which says that you also have soul competency, the ability to engage with biblical materials without it having to be adjudicated for you.
Mm-hmm. You're not just sort of handed this tradition and say, accept it.
No.
Taste and see. Exactly.
Make up your own mind.
Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left. Yeah. How has theological education changed in the past, let's say, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, it would be easy to try to be cute and say, how has it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But that's not helpful, David. I think that what we've seen is that with a change in the patterns of where people live, often in cities, and in a change of how information is conveyed, that now we have theological education offered in different modalities. So, in addition to residential theological education, which I still believe, if one has one's druthers, this is
the best way to do it.
The best way to do it.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to set aside time and finance, even if it's highly subsidized, mm-hmm. in order to do this.
Well, it's one thing if you're 26 years old, yeah. right, and you're getting started. Yeah. But in my class, yeah. as well as your class, I have people who range in their 30s to in their 70s.
Yeah. So what do you do? If students can't come to it, you take it to them. Mm-hmm. And so how do you do it? Well, you can do it in any number of ways. Some have sought to do so entirely digitally. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, except when you want to know and be known, in-person instruction matters. And so for us, satellite campuses in Houston and San Antonio may not be the entire answer to the question, but it's talked about Texas being an L along the I-35 corridor and then over on 290 to Houston. Mm. When you draw 100-mile radii around Waco, Houston, and San Antonio, you account for 72.8% of our state's population.
Really? I had no idea.
So we now have the ability to offer in-person theological instruction within 100-mile drive to 73% of our state.
For Texas. Exactly. But also, as you said, for the world.
Yeah, and so, yes, we do have online courses. In niche MAs like sports ministry and theology, they can be done entirely online. Mm. And we will continue to think about, fret about, work through, ponder over how we can continue to make theological education increasingly accessible, affordable, but never at the expense of quality. Mm. Because ministry is not easy, and so theological education should not be either.
That's right. That's a great final word to end on today. Dr. Steele, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel. We look forward to some things that are in the works between the Linear Theological Library and Truett Seminary.
Can't wait to talk more about it.
That'll be great.
Thanks, David.
Thanks to Brent Johnson and Janet Seifert for editing these podcasts. Thanks as well to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Theological Library Foundation. If you have questions, comments, or would just like to be in touch, please email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is LANIER. Thanks for listening.